Mare cheer at Triangira
Sal. Mare cheer at Triangira Sal.
Ulastyah Pulaha Kratu.
Ulastyah Pulaha Kratu.
Rigur Vishishto Dakshas Cha.
Rigur Vishishto Dakshas Cha.
Samastatra Narada. Marichi,
Marichi,
Atri,
Atri,
Angirasau,
Angirasau,
Ulasta,
Ulasta,
Ulaha,
Ulaha,
Katu,
Katu,
Briguhu,
Vashishta,
Vashishta,
Daksha,
Daksha,
names of sons of Brahma,
Cha,
Cha,
and
Dasama,
Dasama,
the tenth.
Tatra,
Tatra,
there,
yes.
Narada,
Narada,
Narada.
Narada.
Translation. Maitreya said, thus Rudra, having been ordered by Brahma, circumambulated his father, the master of the Vedas. Addressing him with words of assent, he entered the forest to perform austere penances. Brahma, who was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of generating living entities, and begot 10 sons for the extension of the generations. Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Brigu, Vashishta, Daksha, and the 10th son, Narada, were thus born. Purport. The whole process of creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation is meant to give the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. Brahma created Rudra to help him in his creative endeavor. But from the very beginning, Rudra began to devour the whole creation, and thus he had to be stopped from such devastating activities. Brahma therefore created another set of good children who were mostly in favor of worldly fruit of activities. He knew very well, however, that without devotional service to the Lord, there is hardly any benefit for the conditioned souls, and therefore he at last created his worthy son, Narada, who is the supreme spiritual master of all transcendentalists. Without devotional service to the Lord, one cannot make progress in any department of activity, although the path of devotional service is always independent of anything material. Only the transcendental loving service of the Lord can deliver the real goal of life, and thus the service rendered by Sriman Narad Muni is the highest among all the sons of Brahma. So Brahma here then is now in his endeavor to perform his duties of populating the universe, is now taking another course of action by creating this next set of 10 sons. And so Prabhupada is mentioning here that the process of creation, maintenance, and dissolution is to give the living entities a chance to go back to Godhead. So that means all these three aspects are beneficial. Generally, creation is exciting. Maintenance, at least the experience of it, is great. Dissolution, if we're the one performing it, it's great. But if someone else is doing it, then it's not so good. But the whole package is there so that we may become God-conscious. So that means all activities, whatever they are to be connected to Krishna. Said, without devotional service, no one can make progress in any department of activity. And this any is all-inclusive, right? It's not open for interpolation. Any means any activity, right? The Vedas deal with everything. Veda is knowledge. That means knowledge of any activity is in the Veda. And how to perfectly perform it, how to perform it in such a way you do not become entangled, and how to perform it in connection with Krishna, this is given by the scriptures. Right, so Brahma is then creating this. Being mode of passion, therefore creation is important. He's doing this. And we see that the anger, that of Rudra, what he's manifesting, is not important for this. By anger, there's destruction. Right? That's one of the symptoms. The very advanced devotee is perfectly peaceful. And that means no anger. Right? Anger is what makes one not peaceful. Because anger means that there's some issue one has, some frustration is there, some insecurity, some lack of being able to control or enjoy. All these things will generate anger. And so then that means if there's a frustration in material activity, there will generate anger, and that anger will just generate destruction. So then here then we see is that for the proper for perfection of human life, then it has to be seen in connection with service. Then there's no anger, right? Means we're dealing with people. People have feelings. That means you're not dealing with logic, right? Just like we see is if we deal with Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, right? We give it in that order because that's according to logic, that's according to the intelligence. So you have a relationship, you operate that relationship, having operated that relationship, you get a result, right? Right? I have something, there's me and the Kartals, I put them on the fingers, I bang them together, I get sound, right? So Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So that's the logic of the activity. But the problem is the mind is part of this process. And then when we see we're dealing with the mind goes, Sambandha Prayojana Abhideya. It's crooked. This is very important to understand this crookedness. Is that we want to, in controlling, because that's an element of more dealing with intelligence, because to control then you have to be able to perceive things properly and understand what is the best way to engage the senses in connection with that field of activities to get a result. Right? So intelligence is there. But the point is why you would do that or what you will choose to do, that's your mind, not your intelligence. The intelligence doesn't choose for you, your mind does. The intelligence shows you the options. Then the mind picks. So this means that you want to get things done in a logical way, but you have to deal with mind. If it's your own mind, it's seamless. You don't notice it. You don't notice the difference between your mind and intelligence generally. So then you think everything's going very logically, but it's going just as crooked as everybody else. But when you apply it on someone else, then you notice the crookedness, right? Is that, and so then because of that, one gets frustrated. Because you're trying to establish Abhideya, they're first trying to establish the need for it. Right? Someone doesn't need it, why do they want to be involved? But your thing is, we have a relationship, so therefore this is what should happen. Logic. And then it doesn't work. Does that make sense? It's a very, very simple thing. Because in this, it's important to understand that how you want a relationship to flow according to your logical conception, it will not work that way. It just won't. By definition, it can't. So that means the ups and downs are part of the process. Right? So just as in the spiritual world, those who are very elevated appreciate being with Krishna as well as being separated from. Right? That the Sambhog and the Viparlamba both have their aspects of transcendental ecstasy. Those dealing with the material energy then will understand that dealing with the material energy, you have to accept these two. They're part of the same package. Right? It's a reflective package. It's an inferior package, but it is the package. They go together. So you can't just pick the back part of the chicken that gives the golden egg and forget the front part. Right? So you like the happiness, but you have to take the distress with it. The more intense the happiness, the more intense the distress. They go together. So if someone is saying, I can't handle this anymore, you know, why are they always upset? That means we're not understanding. Because until you accept that 50%, you won't get 50% happiness. Right? Because unless you're dealing properly, you can't get it. Because happiness comes from proper dealing. Right? Krishna serves. That's what he's doing. He doesn't have to do anything. But he performs activity. And that activity is in relationship with the devotee. Right? Considering the devotee, he acts. Right? With Arjuna, he's his friend. Right? With Nanda Baba, he's his son. With the cowherd boys, then they just go out and goof around. Right? So depending upon them, he deals with them according to their need. And having taken that attitude of dealing in the moment, because the other person, you consider they are the moment. Does that make sense? Means you're dealing in the moment, but how do you define the moment? Is it your moment or is it someone else's moment? Right? Because if you're going to have a relationship that's functioning, you have to be dealing in the moment. Otherwise, you're dealing in the future or past, or you're dealing in passion or ignorance. You're not actually, you know, how you say, experiencing what's happening right now. Right? If something's going on now and you're thinking of something you did before, someone else, or what you're going to do, you're not experiencing what you're involved in. So to experience what you're involved in, you have to be in the present. The present means the moment. The present's only one moment long, right? That's 1/11th of a second. Pretty narrow. So that means a lot of focus is necessary. So when one is dealing with that moment, then whose moment is it? Is it yours or is it the other person's? Right? That's your choice. You're going to have to deal in some moment. So the element of sacrifice, right? When Brahma created these different elements, then that of what is it? Vairagya, sacrifice, is that you sacrifice your moment for the other person's. Right? Then that will create yoga. That will create connection. Right? But to do that, to discriminate the difference between your moment and the other person's, and what is the other person's moment, then you need intelligence, you need the Shankhya, to discriminate. Right? Then, having discriminated, okay, I choose their moment, then what are you going to do? Then tapas. Then you're going to perform the prescribed duty that goes with that moment. Does that make sense? Those are the four qualities that Brahma created to negate the six qualities of ignorance that he first created. Remember? So that means all activities are going to go according to this. So then that means these elements of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, this is what makes it work, practically work for us. Right? Sambandha works when there's sambandha, I mean when there's shankhya, and there is the, shankhya and the tapa. Right? That we're going to perform the proper prescribed duty, having intelligently understood what it was. Right? Abhideya then is the yoga, then having performing the yoga will be based on that properly understood duty. And the prayojana, the vairagya, is the result is the other person's. Right? Does that make sense? Because I can also deal with the moment, because then if I deal with their moment, then I'll get my moment. Right? But here you're dealing with their moment for them. Right? That will give you your best result. So here in this thing, there, that is how, so now all that's there, so the Vedas then tell you how to do that in every department of activity. But having created this, now Brahma is seeing, what's the use of just perfectly perform material activity? You know, even if you do it in the Vedas, according to Veda, you can get yourself to the heavenly planets, you can get yourself to the Brahman. So being freed from the material world, that's good, but being freed, then what are you going to do? So therefore he generated Narad Muni. Because Narad Muni will give you the ultimate conclusion on how to deal with that moment according to Shastra in devotional service. Does that make sense? Because it's a change in the mood. It's not a change in the activity. It's a change in the mood. Right? It means you don't change your cooking because you're a devotee. Right? Still, something goes in the pan goes in the fire, right? And you stir with the spoon. Not now I'm a devotee, so I turn the pan upside down and I push things around with my hand. You know? Like that. No, it doesn't work like that. It's the exact same method. But what changes is your view on it. Right? Who you're cooking for. You know, what is the mood in which you're cooking? Right? So then, that's the thing. Instead of cooking for yourself, now you cook for others. And cooking for others, what's the ultimate point is cooking for Krishna. Right? He's the ultimate other. Right? So, that's the idea, is Brahma understanding this has created all this, and he wants everything to work. Now, why would he do this? Why not just Narad Muni and then the four Kumaras? Hey, that's complete, right? You got all those four good qualities, and you got devotional service, right? You have your Shankhya, you have your yoga, you have your Vairagya, you have your tapas with the four Kumaras, and we have bhakti. Hey, what do we need anything else for? Right? But if we didn't need anything else, then why do we need Brahma, right? Who's generating from the mode of passion. We need it because the living entities, they need it. Right? They want to be here. They want to, interact with the material energy. So therefore, then these other sons will, Brahma will create it. Shiva now has already proven his ability to destroy it. So now, then, these other sons, these other nine sons, they will generate the populations of the universe, right? All life will come out of them. Right? All the species, everything will be generated from these nine. And then from their descendants, then again, like that, so there'll be 21 Prajapatis. Right? These nine, and then their, children and grandchildren, from them, there's 21, that will generate all the species, and all everyone. So having done that, then everybody then is engaged according to their interest, according to their nature. But if then that nature has to be performed according to these qualities given by the four Kumaras and with devotion. Does that make sense? Means that the uplifting qualities, unless you perform even a material activity, they have to be done with those four. Right? Without those four, they will not be successful. So then, but ultimate success is devotion. Right? So whether you want spiritual perfection or material perfection, you must follow these four qualities the four Kumaras represent. But having done that, even if you're materially perfect, what's the use? You'll take birth again and again and again, just remain here. So there's no real benefit. So then Narad Muni will give. So the opening is how the method in which you're going to perform the activity, and the Narad Muni is the goal. So we even see here is you have Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Right? Means the actual proper relationship with anything in the material world is these four qualities given by the Kumaras. Then these nine brothers, then they're going to establish you could also say Shiva, because destruction also then comes, see Sankarshan. So that aspect also will be there in Sambandha. Then these nine brothers will create the field, the activities that people will go on with, right? That's the activities, is these nine. Then the ultimate goal will be Narad Muni, what he gives. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the one of the aspects. So this is the thing, is the material activity is not perfect unless it's done in line with devotional service. And Prabhupada points out that still devotional service is independent from the activity. Right? Because it's the consciousness that makes the devotion, not the activity. Right? Five activities, whether you're conscious or not, you'll get benefit from, as long as you don't commit offense. Right? You're chanting, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with devotees. So at least if you follow the rules nicely, don't commit offenses, it is directly on its own going to give you benefit. But anything outside of this, then, you have to connect it. Right? You have to connect it. And so then that's the whole point. If you don't connect it, it's not connected. Right? Just saying it's connected, that's nice. But we always have to remember there's such a thing called mechanical. Anything that we develop into, it means when we're first learning something, we're very conscious. Right? You want to learn to ride a bicycle, you're very conscious. You don't, then somehow or another all the trees seem to always get in the way of your bicycle. But as you become conscious, then somehow or another the trees give you a break. Right? So, but once then you can ride without those trees giving you trouble, then it becomes habit. And then when it becomes habit, you stop concentrating on the bicycle. Right? So, for a bicycle, that's okay. As long as, nothing very major is there. But when you're dealing with people, it's not okay. And that moment you deal in the mood of habit, that moment the other person is dissatisfied. Because there's no content in the interaction. Right? So if that happens with regular people, then why, without concentration, will that not happen with Krishna, whose point of focus is bhakti? Others just want some proper emotional consideration. That's all. But Krishna expects devotion. Right? So that's a higher, and it needs more focus. Right? That's why Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. In becoming conscious, then you can be aware of Krishna. So it's simultaneous. Being conscious, then if you that's your endeavor, you will be Krishna conscious. But if you're not aware of that, then just becoming conscious won't make you Krishna conscious. Right? So you have to have both. But if you're not conscious, no relationship will work for you. Right? If you ever wonder why something's not working so well, it's because those moments of not conscious, those are the problem. The ones you're conscious, that's what makes it work. Right? Like that. Very simple. So here you're taking a stage from unconscious to conscious to Krishna conscious. Right? It's a natural, systematic stage. So first you are aware of the activity, that you're performing the activity properly with the idea of sacrifice. It means, in other words, what is the other entities will make that work properly. Like even I'm working with my car. Car likes gas. Okay, you put gas in the car. Petrol in the car. It works, right? You put oil. You change the tires. But whose consideration is it? Yours or the car's? It has to be the car's, right? Like that. Tire goes flat. You decide, no, I'm still driving. You can do it, but it will create a problem. There'll be a problem in the relationship. Right? So, there, bumpy ride in this relationship. Yeah. Okay. So then, does that make sense? So you have to be conscious of what is actually going on, and it has to be done for the benefit of the other. Then it works. Having been that conscious, then according to Shastra, what's the proper application of that? And then, further than that, is without devotional service, even that now perfectly applied material endeavor only really finds its perfection if it's connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So this whole process is being established by Brahma here in his creation. Right? He's establishing the whole foundation of relationship. Right? Because that's the Vedas. The Vedas are only describing relationship. That's all there is in the Vedas. Relationship between God, the living entity, and the material energy. Right? This is knowledge. Right? Chit, achit, ishwar. You know these three, you actually have knowledge. Knowing these three means you have sambandha gyan, which means you have knowledge of relationship. But this is not just philosophy. This is in every aspect of your life with anything. Right? You and your toothbrush, your relationship. Right? If I hold the bristles and stick the other end in my mouth, it won't work so good. Right? I hold it in the middle, try to get it in my mouth, unless I got a really big mouth, problem. Right? I have to understand the relationship properly. I have to understand what I'm doing, what I'm trying to get done. The more I know, the better the result. Right? It's just science. Right? So this is what Brahma is establishing. Right? It's not rules, it's relationship. Right? Right? We get stuck on Veda means rule. No, Veda means relationships. These rules are to ensure the proper performance, the smooth operation of the relationship. Okay. Any questions on this? Comments? Sir? Yes.
Any question? You were saying that those even the sons of Brahma, they are in charge of different departments of life, basically. So does they have any question with the astrological chart, or then also with the astrological chart? Because seems to be some of them has some question.
The ten sons and all that. I'm not sure. You could check. Parasara describes these. He tells how the ten avatars, who is connected with the lords of the planets. You know, so by worshipping them, you get the benefit of
that. Yeah.
Yeah, probably you could, if you looked at it nicely, you could work it out. everything eventually has to go back to the same source. You know, so the farther back you go, the more the common elements. As you expand, then the details appear to be different, but their principles will be the same. Yeah. Something else? No? Yes.
You mentioned that anger can be cured by performing devotional service. But you also see that sometimes you become angry when something becomes an obstacle to devotional service.
We become angry when something becomes an obstacle to devotional service. But then you have to check, what is that anger? What is the actual cause of the anger? Because it means we want to do devotional service, but the whole point is it's about us. I want to do this, I can't do this, therefore I'm angry. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
But
you know what I'm saying? Because if it's not in your devotional service and someone else is having an obstacle, it may not bother you at all.
For example,
No, but see, you have to go, what we're talking here is some subtlety beyond this, because you're talking the form of it. But why are you particularly interested in that form? Right? Spiritual master gives you a service because he understands your nature, right? Devotional service means your body, your mind, your words are engaged in devotional service, right? That's spiritual master, right? So if, means like we see, Srila Prabhupada, someone would be doing a service, and if they'd have a problem in it, he would keep them in that service. Because it's only by fully engagement in devotional service that the living entity is purified and becomes Krishna conscious. Right? Not by judicial rules. Right? One is purified by devotional activity, not by material. Does that make sense? So, therefore the spiritual master will engage one in a particular way. Then, being engaged in that way, because that's your interest in that way, if there's an obstacle to the performance of that particular kind of service, then anger may arise. But it's not because of service, it's because of the particular obstacle in the particular medium. Right? This is the level if you work at, then you can catch anger and all these other qualities. Good, you know, increase the good, get rid of the bad, connect the philosophy to your life. But you have to go in that next level down. The level up, then you're seeing the form of the activity. But you have to see is, why are you engaged in that form? Someone's managing, why? Because they're a manager by conditioned nature. So when something comes up in management, they're frustrated. But if someone else comes to them and says, oh, I have a problem in, you know, my cooking. Oh, just be tolerant, move on, it's all nice philosophy. Right? But in management, know that it's all, hey, this is in the way, this is... Why? Because it's theirs. They identify with it. Right? So, they can connect that to Krishna, but the point is that by becoming angry, that's not necessarily the solution. Right? One has to be determined and find out what is then now the best course of action. Anger may be engaged, like we see in fighting and other things like that, anger is used because it's a form of destruction. So in anything you're using that, it can be used. You know, or sometimes, as Lord Chaitanya pointed out, an angry cook cooks better, right? Because there's so much passion, they put very full spicing, you know, stuff like that. So sometimes that's there. But I'd be very careful, because a real angry cook doesn't cook at all. So it's real hit, touch and go on this one. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about personal development here. We're not talking about specifically the anger. That was the context of that comment. Is that in your own life, that anger may not be so beneficial. Not that anger can't be used in Krishna's service, but we're talking about, why are you angry? Because of devotional service, or because you're not the controller and somebody got in the way of you being the controller? Does that make sense?
So whenever an emotion like this comes up, it's a sign that I am attached to something.
You're attached to something, yes.
Identification.
Yes, whenever it comes up. But then you discern between those that are lower that need to be given up and those that can be cultivated. Right? In other words, when that emotion comes up, if it's in the stomach, you need to control it. If it's coming up in the heart, then you need to see this properly engaged. And so the ones out of the stomach can also be engaged, but it's more, you're dealing with more mundane technicality. You know what I'm saying? The ones from the heart, that's by proper following of prescribed duties, then you maintain the relationship. So it's basically through tapa, like that. But the other one, when it comes up from the stomach, then the problem is more vairagya, because it's yours. You know what I'm saying? And that yours is looking at it from your point of view. When it's in the heart, it may be yours, but you're looking at it from the other's point of view. Does that make sense? So that's just mechanical, also, how you can see, distinguish that. Okay? Okay. Last point, then we'll start.
Should the spiritual master manage, and should a manager be a spiritual master? It seems that there is an inherent conflict of interest between these two different functions, and that nowadays, a lot of times, disciples are feeling they're not getting enough quality attention from their spiritual masters in terms of relationship, in terms of personal interaction. Maybe there's some misunderstanding of what means quality time and quality mm-hmm. association,
mm-hmm.
but to the conflict of interest part, it just seems that these two contradict each other, maybe only on a material plane.
Mm-hmm.
If you could comment on that, please.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our movement, most of the spiritual masters, or many of them, they're also GBCs or managers in some sort. And it seems that they're running into difficulties a lot of times because of having to perform,
mm-hmm.
not just in these two functions, but sometimes in many more functions.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work out in a proper society
mm-hmm.
so that people don't get this conflict of interest where they end up in the soup?
Yes, okay. Okay. And it's not necessarily minestrone, right? I mean, the basis of it to make it work means there has to be an understanding of the importance and trust in the relationship between the, brahminical functions and the administrative functions, like that. I would have a tendency here to separate management off, because everybody manages. So it's more the administrative aspect that gets in the way. Because of the policy. Management just means that you happen to perform the right activity for an interaction, like that. Or it means, in other words, you could probably even say you generated the field of activities in which the relationship could properly be realized.
What's called administration?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Separate off management, let's say, call it administration rather than management. But that means then, the administrators have to understand that the importance, the whole purpose of administration is to administer brahminical understanding and lifestyle. And that the brahminical lifestyle is only going to be established and enlarged if there's administration. I mean, someone in their own life, living separately, like you live in the forest, you don't need an administration. Like Satyayuga, they lived in the forest, no need of administration. But in Treta Yuga, then administration, the need for administration arises. So then you have to have that class and that function. So according to Manu, that the Brahmins can't function without the Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas can't function without the Brahmins. So understanding this, when there's that trust, then you can do something. There's no trust that won't work. So basically, it's more a lack of trust. Means administrators, they want to have control because they think that the preachers are going to do whatever they want. And the preachers want to have control because they feel the administrators don't necessarily understand the relationships and what's going on. That they're more into just management and not really into the people. And the administrators are worried that they're too much into the people and not into the policy. So unless there's a trust there and there's a common basis of, policy, then you won't get it to work. But otherwise, the natural form is as we see Prabhupada before, is he wasn't so inclined that your preachers would have to be administrators. Right? Even in the Vedic system where you have a mutt, you have the preacher and you have the administrator. Right? So the preacher is the senior, the administrator is the junior, but all management is done by the administrator. It's not done by the preacher. But what you're managing is the expansion of the facility, and how you say, for the preaching, you're managing the maintenance of or nourishing the devotees and all that that's involved from the preaching. And yeah, you're just seeing that everybody's taken care of, and you're protecting the environment. So if this can be discerned, then it'll work. But otherwise, it'll be very hard to balance the two. They're not actually so much meant to be. As we see that Prabhupada, he would actually be the spiritual authority, that he would leave the management to everyone else. Right? But so when he would give direction, it would be a more proper vision on things. But he wasn't technically managing. Few things he would manage himself. When the devotees couldn't, then they would step in. But otherwise, if they can do it, then he wouldn't. That would be the natural position. Right? He mentions that in the 64 items of devotional service, in the second group of 10, means that says the preacher doesn't build temples. Right? But Prabhupada was arranging so many temples, but others were building it. Right? Rupa Goswami, he didn't build his temple. Right? Others built it. They came with the idea and all that, because the temple is necessary for the others, not for the preacher. Is that okay? Does that work? But the point is until one understands one's identity and therefore one's and others and what your relationship is with them, it'll be very hard to establish this. Right? So it's very clear. You know, means what is the facility and jurisdiction of an administrator? What is the jurisdiction of a preacher? Like that. You know, who does what, how much. It will be very difficult.
You two are talking about the issue of trust. The trust is a daily thing. Like you trust your toothbrush, you trust your shoes, you trust another person because you can see that they can perform a certain function.
Mm-hmm.
And if that function is not performed, if the result is not obtained, then the level of trust diminishes.
Yes.
And it creates insecurity.
Yes.
It will create a lot of problems in
yes.
society. So
yes.
to recreate the level of trust
mm-hmm.
and get rid of the insecurity, would you suggest, or is that just my objection, that to simplify things, people would have less portfolio and focus more on their core objectives,
mm-hmm.
earn the levels of trust, so people actually will have an existing relationship with them.
Yes.
You talk to devotees, and many have a sort of very distant relationship with their spiritual and managerial leadership.
Hmm. Distant meaning that was a euphemism? I'm saying euphemism means you're saying it in a nice way, but it's worse than that. Right? Okay. Yes, but in there, the specific context of what we meant by trust is the concept of trust. Because as you're saying is that everything you have, the theory is the foundation. And it's the perspective through which you see things. At the same time, is then you have to apply it to what's happening right this moment. And in the moment, if someone's doing untrustworthy, then they're not to be trusted. But it doesn't mean that if they follow the things correctly, that trust is not there. That's the problem. I would say more of a problem has come is that devotees have allowed this feeling of trust to actually erode their concept of trust. Right? If you're fixed in that there is such a thing as authority, there is such a thing as trust, but maybe I'm not seeing it, but it exists. So now finding it and how to go about finding it, then it'll be progressive. You'll be able to get there fairly easily. But if there isn't a grounding of trust or grounding of acceptance of authority, then it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never get there. Millions of committees, millions of rules, you'll never get anywhere. So the difference is there. One is that you have faith in it, but it may take time. You know, like someone, let's say, a businessman has faith in the economic system. He starts 5 businesses, they all fail, but he has that faith, the 6th one works, and he becomes very wealthy. Right? If in the beginning he said, oh, I tried, it didn't work, he'll never become wealthy. But he has faith in the principle. So if you have faith in the principle of trust and authority, then you can actually arrange this relationship. But if you don't, then you never can. If there's no trust, you can't do anything, because no trust means no relationship. Because trust is the connection. Right? The prajumna aspect of the sambandha is trust. If that's not there, you don't have a relationship. So anybody who doesn't have trust, can't work with trust, then they themselves cannot be trusted. Right? Someone who believes in trust can be trusted. Someone who doesn't believe in trust can't be trusted. Is that okay? You know, so it's both have to be there like that. Okay, so we'll end here. We're over time. Then after 5 minutes, if anyone has any more questions, we'll continue. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sandavita Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandini.